Hey friends, it's Ian from TV's The Recovering Gleek, Ugly Podcast. When Lena and I first decided to make this podcast, we quickly realized we had literally zero idea of how to make that happen. Thankfully, a friend of ours recommended the podcasting platform Anchor. Anchor is free. It has all of the tools you need to record and edit your podcast from your phone or computer. You can even add songs from Spotify into it. And the absolute most amazing thing about Anchor is that they will distribute your podcast for you. So anywhere that you listen to Recovering Gleek, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever weird third-party app you're using, it is there because Anchor put it there. And the icing on the cake is that you can make money from your podcast through Anchor with no minimum listenership. All you have to do is record an ad, which is why I am recording an ad right now, because I want money very badly. It is everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Before we get into the season two wrap-up, I just want to announce that Lena and I are guests on this week's episode of the podcast Gleek of the Week, which is a podcast hosted by Allison Dodge and Andrew McGuire, where they go through every single performance in the history of Glee, trying to determine which one is the best Glee performance of all time. So be sure to check that out on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Are you recording?
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to clap to sync up, but since you only have one free hand, if you just want to snap in front of... Let's just snap. We'll both snap. So snap in front of your microphone after I get to three. So it'll be
one, Let me just slap my arm. I don't trust that I'm going to snap loud enough. I'm stressed about it. I'm a quiet snapper.
We are open to suggestions. We can do something else.
We don't want
you to have a breakdown on the podcast. We will slap arms on the count of three, whatever you need.
My goodness.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. One, two, three.
I'm gonna throw up. That was so funny, dude.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to our season two wrap up. Lena and I wrote an intro song just for this occasion. We've been working on it all week.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited
for
it.
Here we
go. Yes.
One, two, three. Season two wrap up. I can't believe it's season two and it's over. The wrap up. Thank you, everyone. My name is Ian Allred. I am a Gleek.
My name is Lena Knatzer, and I am a Gleek.
And once again, we are joined by our special guest, formerly a Glee virgin, now only partially a Glee virgin. Woo-hoo! Do you want to introduce yourself?
Second base.
Oh, no. I'm cutting that out. Disgusting. formerly a Glee virgin, now has gotten to second base with Glee. Would you like to introduce yourself?
I am Alex again. And I'm not going to say that I'm a Gleek because, like, I can't, I'm not. I'm not, like, opposed to it, but I'm not that. And I'd be a poser to claim that I am. Mm-hmm. I'm a person
I respect that.
Who is watching Glee as an adult man with my dog and my son. And they, that's what we do with our time.
Happy Father's Day.
Woo-hoo. Since we last met, Alex, you're now a dad.
That's right.
What's it like being a Gleek and also a father?
You know.
How do you balance the two?
You just can't. It's not possible. He just has to cry in the other room while I do my Gleeks.
Yeah.
You have to prioritize.
I don't know what doing your Gleeks means, but...
Sometimes you gotta say, "Hey, Jack Lewis, 1 second, I gotta do my Gleeks.
I gotta go do the Gleeks.
Gotta go do Gleeks. Sorry, Jack Lewis."
For context, we are recording this on Father's Day. You're probably listening to it
I mean, you are for sure listening to it at least a week and a half after the fact, but this is Father's Day at the time of recording.
Oh, yeah, because you guys haven't released Finale yet, huh?
No, we have not, which I'm glad because we say some mild spoilers about season three in that episode.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But since it's not released, you haven't heard them, so you are truly fresh.
I would like to be clear for all people that are exhausted by the spoiler thing. It's very important to me. Like, literally, when Ian says, for those that don't like spoilers, fast forward 30 seconds, and then I fast forward 30 seconds, and then he still gives a spoiler away because he actually talked for 10 minutes on the topic, I get, like, really angry. And there's full episodes I just have to turn off because I can't, because I can't listen to them because you just start talking about things. And like I said, anything is a spoiler.
Yeah.
If you say the name of somebody, you spoiled something. If you say, if you say, I don't know, that time that that person sings that solo, like I'm going to know that everything's a spoiler. I want it fresh. I want everything fresh. I don't want anything. I want to live like you guys lived in 2011.
My favorite is when we will have listeners email in, and in the email, they will be like, mild spoilers ahead. Sorry, Alex.
Very
nice. They will say the spoilers.
Bless you guys. It's beautiful.
So anyone who's just tuning in and maybe didn't listen to the season one wrap up, Alex is my older brother. That is our relationship. I was very into Glee when it was first airing. I watch it every week. Alex watched one episode and said, I don't like this, and
Alex
then never watched
it
again.
Okay, let's be fair. Alex was gone from the years fall of 2009 through the summer of 2011. I was gone. And like, yeah.
Yeah, that's both.
Yeah,
that's,
you
yeah.
missed.
That's
you
both
missed
season one
like
and two.
Showmance through prom queen.
Yeah,
yeah, but
you
like
were gone.
What made people like start to like Glee? I wasn't even around. I heard tell of it, but like I never watched anything. I literally just heard it mentioned. I knew that it had something to do with musicals and that they did a Madonna episode. That was all that I was aware of. And by the time I got back, it was season three, and I was in college, and everyone I knew was like, this show sucks. And I had one friend who was still obsessed with it, but she was like, it's really bad, but I still watch it. So then Ian was like, you should watch this show.
Yeah, shout out to that girl.
Yeah, and Natasha Blakely. I think she listens to this sometimes.
Natasha, hello.
And she was like, it's terrible, but it's my guilty pleasure. Yeah, so I was like wholly unaware of the phenomenon that it was because I was so out of the loop of the whole world. And then when I came back, everyone was done. And so Ian tried to get me to watch it, and I was like, yeah, I don't know, I have better things to do. And I also thought it was kind of dumb. And like, it is still kind of dumb.
Yeah.
My mission in my mid-teens was to get one member of my family to watch Glee with me. And it was a failure across the board. And now 10 years later, I finally had success. It's finally happening. But I started like with our sister Erin. I started with her. And she lasted like half of season one. And then it got too popular and she was too much of a hipster. And she was like, I don't like this. It's mainstream. And then I tried to get our older sister Connie to watch it. And after two episodes, she was like, I freaking hate this show.
She was never going to endure Will Schuster. That was
you were my Hail Mary throw. And, you know, it took some time, but it worked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I appreciate the things that are good about Glee. It is fun. It hurts, though, because it is fun sometimes. Especially because I kept thinking about, oh, what were the really fun moments that happened from season two? And I was like, oh, that was season one. No, that was season one. No, that was one. Like, the back half of season one, I think, is season two.
I had a really hard time when we did. So for this wrap up episode, everyone, we are going to have Alex tell us what he thinks is going to happen next season. And then we're going to give some superlatives. We're going to say what like our best song was, best episode, et cetera, et cetera. It was so much easier for me to do superlatives for season one than season two. I had a very hard time with this season.
Yeah. Like the best group number. I was like,
yeah,
like there was a lot of good ones.
Yeah,
I but feel none the of same. Them like, yeah.
I could pick a worst one pretty fast.
Oh yeah, I had some worst, and it wasn't a terrible season. I actually liked it more than I expected to like it. Like, good. I was surprised. But I could feel when it got to the end, like it was so kind of gradual. And then I think back and I was like, oh, this is a different show that I'm watching now. Mm-hmm. This isn't totally the one that I used to watch. Yeah, it wasn't terrible. I legitimately enjoyed a lot of it. And it wasn't as glaringly horrible as I expected, which is what I understand I should expect from 3 and 4. But it still was pretty horrible at times.
Yeah, totally.
But also, hear me out. As someone who is like a big season 1 defender and thinks it's the best season, season 2 had some sleeper hits.
Yeah, honestly.
It had some episodes that I was shocked by how much I loved them.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it has some really awesome numbers. I wouldn't say that the awesome numbers tend to be group numbers, which is why best group number was really hard.
Yeah.
But like you get Santana doing stuff, and so I'm all in.
Yeah, solos were much easier for me to pick than group stuff.
Yeah.
All right, to kick this thing off, last time Alex was on, we forgot to have him take the open psychometrics test.
Oh, hell yeah.
To see what Glee character he is.
Okay.
So he's now taken it and is going to share that information with us.
So, all right, so number one, I'm Mercedes Jones.
That's great. One.
That's cool because I love her.
That's great.
Wow. You and Lena are best friends.
Woohoo! Number two, I am Kurt Hummel.
And Lena are the same person.
So I'm best friends with myself also. And they're pretty close. I don't even know. Is Mercedes best friends with Kurt anymore? I guess not. Because he's like apparently best friends with Rachel or something. Like the friendships don't make any sense to me. I don't know.
I hear that.
Whatever.
It's because like Leah Michelle had like blackmail on Ryan Murphy, I swear. Mm-hmm. Every character's personality traits just got shoved into her character and they all fell away.
Yeah.
When freaking Mercedes just gets tossed around to friendships. Like she's kind of like Tina's really close friend maybe sometimes. I guess now I still picture her being best friends with Kurt. She always is best friends with Kurt to me.
Remember when she and Quinn were roommates?
Ugh. Oh my gosh. Remember that?
The writers don't remember.
And I was so excited about that plot point and it never was touched on ever again. Never.
Never.
Very dumb.
That's another thing. I have a list of things that I predicted that I'm really angry didn't happen.
So I'm excited to hear it.
Mercedes at 79%, so not super high. I never didn't have anybody on any of all of the different fandoms. Nothing was above 80%.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What was your like highest character overall?
My highest character is like from Star Trek, but like the new one.
Like Chris Pine?
No, I don't know Star Trek.
Is like whatever Deep Space Deeps, 9?
Yes, that one. Uh-huh.
Okay.
I'm scared to click a back button. Everything's
sure, close. I hear that.
Okay,
I
we're good. That. All right. For those who know Star Trek Deep Space 9, I am Jake Sisko.
Big Jake Sisko fans in this house.
Yeah, literally.
I lied. I didn't realize he's 88%. I do have some. Yeah, I do have some that are in the 80s. I forgot. Belle French from Once Upon a Time. I have Belle and Belle from Once Upon a Time on here.
Wait.
Cool.
Belle's last name in Once Upon a Time is French.
Don't even get me started with that show.
I knew that.
That show, I'm sorry. That. So many people love it, French. And it's okay, but I consider it an abomination.
Yeah, no, I hear that.
I got very similar feelings about Once Upon a Time as I do with Glee. I was way into it for 3 years.
Yeah.
And then season 4, I was like, I have to stop watching
this
show.
I met like Anna and Elsa and I was like, I gotta go. Like,
this is irresponsible. I cannot continue to watch this.
No, I started that show and I just remember being like, the first thing that I was like, this is terrible, was their costumes. It's like, you got a chance to redesign a Disney princess and that is what you did? Mm-hmm. That is what you did for the fairy? That I was just like so disgusted by how boring the costumes were. And then the rest of it wasn't great enough to stand on its own beyond that. And I watched like season 1, I think. Yeah.
Also, they had the audacity to cast Emma Caulfield as a witch. And only give her like 4 lines, then never have her show up again.
Oh, she was a witch?
She's like canceling Gretel's Witch or something like that.
I demand Emma Caulfield gets her dues. I demand it.
Okay, that's Listen another me, thing Earth. I can't do. Also agreed, Lena. That's why I'm hoping that WandaVision goes farther with those characters.
That Dottie pops up in Doctor Strange. Marvel!
Marvel, give the people what they want.
I'm convinced it was the intention. Do I believe they will do it now that there is a year and a half between the two? I don't know. But I think it was the intention. What was I saying? Oh, I had my biggest thing with the Disney doing like crap like that is I'm just like, are you doing fairy tales or are you doing Disney movies? Because Hansel and Gretel is Hansel and Gretel. But then they're doing Anna and Elsa, which is not the Snow Queen. Those are made up Disney characters. And so they're like, we're latching on to Disney, but then not like Descendants does the same thing. Which, I'm 32. Yeah. Have I seen all the Descendants movies? Yes, I did. Did I watch them all alone besides one? Yeah, I did. But that's my issue with them. They create this world and they pretend like they're like in fairy tale world, but they're not. They're in Disney movie world. Those aren't all fairy tales.
Once Upon a Time has Dr. Victor Frankenstein in it. It has like the Wicked Witch of the West, and it has Hades.
Mm-hmm. But like, is it Disney Hades?
No, it's not Disney Hades, I don't think. No, I don't. I mean, I stopped watching by that point, but I do know that he and the Wicked Witch of the West fall in love.
Oh, you know what for heaven's sake, are you kidding me? What about Fiero?
Fiero! For heaven's sake. All right, tell us the rest of your open cycle metrics.
Now that we're talking about Once Upon a Time.
Should that be our next show that we watch?
Honestly, that's a good one.
Oh my gosh, I want to do that one. I will have so many feelings about that show.
Hear me out. If you get some nice headphones, you can be a part of it, Alex.
But while you have these crap headphones,
you are not invited.
As long as I have these pieces of garbage, it's one every 7 months. Okay, I got Mercedes Kurt, Brittany S. Pierce.
Hell yeah.
At 65% with Brittany. And then Will Schuster.
But what percentage?
62.
That's not very
that's
high.
A failing
You're
grade.
You wouldn't graduate with that Will Schuster grade.
He's tied with Artie, so I'm going to take Artie over him.
Sure.
Then I got Tina at 60, Santana at 47, Rachel at 46, Puck 31, and Sue at 26.
This feels like a good combination to have. Mm-hmm. Alex, are you a cool person or something? What the
Well,
hell?
What's your third? What's your third one?
I don't know.
No, I Lena. Don't I don't care about you, Ian. I'm talking about Lena. We're the same.
I think.
Are you Britain?
I think so. I think mine was Kurt, Mercedes, Brittany.
What's your whatever that thing is, the 16 personalities, what's that?
Oh, I'm an ESFP.
Okay, so we're different on the second letter, because I'm ENFP.
Oh, Alex, are we twinnies?
Almost.
Do you know anything about the Enneagram?
Like,
that's the 9 types.
Yeah.
I did it once, but I can't remember a thing.
Okay. We'll talk about it later. Now I'm convinced that we should have all the same on everything.
We're the same person. Okay.
Same all person right. us. All right.
Well.
Should we get into your, should we do your predictions from season 1 that didn't work out that you're pissed about? Yeah. Or should we do your predictions for season 2?
We're going to start do the ones you're pissed ones about. Season 1, because I'm going to be straight. Hell yeah. Didn't put as much work into this one. I did some thinking, but it was just, my brain was so confused by so many things.
Hey, I hear that.
It's Father's Day. You're
so
good.
I'm going to give you a couple things. Season 1, the biggest failures that they did in not using my plot points were number freaking 1. I was actually really excited and convinced myself that it might be true that Terry was going to date Quinn's dad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When those words left your mouth, I was like, manage your expectations. That
can
is way
imagine,
better than anything
they
do with
can
her.
Can you imagine? She's dating Quinn's dad. She's now like the mom of one of Will's students, and he has to like deal with her in like that setting. But she's also his ex-wife. But then like Then the other thing that I had that was exciting about that was that she then gets pregnant finally, but she and Will have like a fling backstage. So you don't know, is it Quinn's sibling or is it Will and Terry's child? And he doesn't know.
They have sex in the fly system during S&M by Rihanna.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was that plot I got really excited about. I mean, I didn't believe the last half would work. But I would happen. But I kind of thought that maybe the only reason I thought they wouldn't have Terry do something like that was because I knew that people were like, they should use Terry more. And I was like, oh, so they're not going to use her. See, spoilers. When you complain about things in the future that go wrong, it's still a spoiler.
Great. We'll stop. Everything is a spoiler. We will stop critiquing the episodes. We will just talk about what happened and that's it.
No, yeah. Every time you're like, and this is so-and-so's last solo, I'm like, come on. Now I know that. Now I know that they're not going to sing again. Now I can't win the anticipation every time he's going to give out a solo at sectionals that maybe it's Quinn. Because I know it'll never be. It'll never be Quinn. Okay, so that one was one I didn't. I was hurt by that. Okay, where are my other ones? My other ones? I'm convinced this was a wave. I loved that they did have Jesse St. James be a failure in Los Angeles. Because that was my idea, and I'm glad that Ryan Murphy liked it, and he used it.
He got it from you.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Stole it from you.
But what I didn't like is that it was supposed to be that Rachel goes to LA, to Hollywood, to go, like, meet with him, then hang out with him. Because she goes there. What did I have her go there for? I don't know. She, like, at one point, she got a Wicked audition or something. But then she went to Hollywood because she was like, I need to focus on me. And so she went there and she met up with him and he was a failure.
She got a Wicked audition her junior year of high school?
It was like one of those, like she didn't get the audition. It's like when they do open calls and she like went.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
But she like makes a big deal out of it.
Yeah. And she's like, I have to focus on me and my career. And then she goes to Hollywood to like look into that. Or I don't remember what I said. Go listen to the episode. It's not my job to recap it. Okay. So... then she was supposed to get there and find out he's a failure. And she's like, wait, but if you're a failing here, I shouldn't call him a failure. That's not fair. He isn't doing what they expected. So she's like, well, if you haven't made it, then what is it? And they're like, well, you have to have it. And then they have that old Hollywood musical number about like, you know, that old Hollywood term of it, that a star has it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the star factor. And so she like does like an old Hollywood style dancey musical number in Hollywood about it, and that's her like trying to figure out if she's got it. I was excited about that idea. I think
we did basically have hot that's honey what this season, there.
Huh?
We did have the hot honey rag in there.
We
from
did.
Chicago,
but what they missed this season, I feel like I really enjoy like the musical theater style numbers, like "Hello, I Love You." And Bust Your Windows and all that stuff from season one. And like, they didn't do a lot of that where they like weren't performing for an audience. They were just like living it in life.
Yeah.
And that made me sad because I enjoy that.
It's because in season one, for the most part, the music is informing, the story is informing the music. And then in season two, they are literally like, we just need to shove performances in to sell more on iTunes.
That's true.
And it's the easiest way to shove a song in is the choir is performing at this event.
Yeah. It's just a bummer. I wish they would do more of it. So those are my main things. This is what I know moving forward so far. I know like a couple characters don't come back because you've said it. Like I know that what's his face? Bamboo. Howard Bamboo won't come back till season 6 because you said that. I know that someone named Kitty shows up and she's a cheerleader because when I did the commission thing last time, someone requested that I put Kitty in his picture. So I had to look at a picture of her and now I know she's a cheerleader and she's blonde.
By look at a picture, what Alex means is he said, I have a commission for this character and I don't want any spoilers. Can you find me a spoiler-free picture of them?
But she was blonde and she was a cheerleader. So I know this now.
I had to. He wanted a picture of, you wanted a picture of breadsticks, of like what breadsticks looks like, and you were too afraid to Google it?
Because so many people go on dates there.
So I had to Google a picture of breadsticks, and it was Sam and Quinn on their date in duets. Mm-hmm. And so I literally just blacked out both their faces and sent it to it.
That's funny.
Yeah, breadsticks. I typed it in once, and I don't remember which one I saw, but I saw one. I was like, oh yeah, this is just spoilers. I can't look at this. I know that, is it Alex Newell?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I know that Alex Newell shows up at some point. I know that Ali Stroker shows up at some point. I know that they, including baby. Kurt, Rachel, and I don't know who else, move to New York and sing Turkey Lurkey Time.
You got it.
And I know that, I mean, I know that,
Corey Monteith?
Yes. I know that he dies, yes. So I know that that happens.
Yeah.
But that's all I know moving forward. So, now I shall, you want me to jump in?
Yeah. Hit it up.
Sorry.
What's
I'm
happening
just, like,
in season three?
I just like don't talk to people anymore because I'm a stay-at-home dad and I just yell my opinions at the television screen. So here I am. Also, I keep talking over you because I can't hear very well.
Oh, you're fine. And also there's a delay. You're fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. Jumping in. Season two. So we start out exactly the same as season three. We start out exactly the same as season three, two. Oh my gosh.
Numbers
you know,
are
they're
numbers
all gonna
hard.
Start the same.
Hey, you got a failing grade in Will Schuster. Yeah. You're not good at numbers.
Quinn and Rachel are together again at the beginning and they're in love and she's probably annoying because they already did that. Like we already did this.
Do you mean Finn?
What did I say?
You
He's
went
Quinn.
Full Faberry.
I was like,
right
oh,
off the bat.
Alex,
you know,
I love that.
That is what happens. No. And Quinn is like in revenge mode. This is like, I'm just assuming they're going to do that. Also, I just can't. How does a haircut solve everything? How does a haircut solve everything? So as Quinn comes back, her hair is now blue because she has so many emotions. She just like. It now becomes her identity. Her hair is her identity. So she becomes that girl who like becomes edgy instead of like mm-hmm. cute popular. She's like, I can't do it this way. And the haircut, somehow all of her angst and anger went out through cutting her hair. And heck so yeah. she then becomes obsessed with that. And she and Tina Cohen Chang become friends. Because she's like going edgy now. So her hair is always like different colors. She gets into all this weird makeup. And then everyone gets kind of worried about her. Because they're like, Quinn, are you okay? And she's like, I'm just expressing myself. This isn't because I'm like struggling. I'm actually just expressing myself. But then they have to do another like another Lady Gaga episode about that. Except for the male version that they use instead of Kiss in this episode is Oh, I was thinking about this the other day. What was it? Who's the other person? Oh, David Bowie. So they do
okay,
David
I was
Bowie.
Say, there's a very clear answer
yeah.
here.
Yeah, that is the clear answer. So they do like a David Bowie episode that's all that about like expressing yourself through how you look. And it's all like Quinn kind of like heads it because she and Tina. Well, let's look, you know, Tina and Quinn head it because Tina really should be. And the two of yeah. them head it in like teaching everyone like, we need to be more interesting and expressive because our costumes always suck. And like Quinn is like, yeah, I finally realized that Tina like in dressing an interesting way is like really fun and cool and like is a different way to express ourselves. So let's do it. So they all like come up with great costumes that they're going to use for sectionals. They never do. We never see them again. And they never do a David Bowie song for sectionals, but they practice it. And it is fashion. So they do fashion at the end. That's the final episode. It's fashion. Turn to the left. Fashion. They should do a David Bowie episode, you guys. Don't tell me if they do. They don't. I don't believe they do, but I want
I
them
will
to.
Say, whether it happens or not, a David Bowie episode is a great idea.
It would be so freaking fun. And Kurt would go full Ziggy Stardust. Yeah. Anyway, so that's Quinn. That's kind of Quinn's arc. Now, Rachel and Finn are in love, but, you know, Kitty comes in. This girl named Kitty. So Kitty just moved here from Australia. It's just Greece. So she's here from Australia and she's like, I'm new and I'm just this perfect little innocent thing. And it's all a game because she's pretending to be this whole Sandy from Greece thing. So everyone treats her all sweet because that's how she's going to get in with people, by like being the sweet little girl and then surprise. But like, she's actually not that at all. She's a total Rizzo the whole time, and she's just using all her like sweetness to play Rachel's whole game of sweetness, but she's better at it because Rachel's a mess, and she wins over Finn from Rachel. And so Rachel, once again, is left without Finn, who that and theater is the defining characteristic of her. That's all she cares about. Except for this time, she actually decides, I'm done with Finn because I'm sick of her chasing Finn. So she's done with Finn, and she's like, I'm going to focus on theater, which she said she's going to do last time, but she never did it. So she actually does it this time. Honestly, I'm just going to redo. She gets the wicked open call and she goes to New York to do that. I just want her to do
it. I want you to predict this same plot line every season until the show ends.
Every season. So she goes and does that. Last time it overlapped, I think, with sectionals, and that was big drama. It's not going to this time because I already did that. You tell me who you want to hear about next. I think that's going to work better for me. Who do you want to
Let's
hear about
see.
Next?
What's going on with Mercedes Jones, your alter ego?
Well, Mercedes and Sam are dating, which I'm into. I love Sam, you guys. I think people thought Sam was boring. I love Sam from the get-go. Just the way he's so matter-of-fact about things and just isn't bothered by things that everyone's so dramatic about. And he's also such a nerd. But, like, I just like him.
You know who else loves Sam?
Mom.
Yeah, our mom is a big Sam stan.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I love Sam.
When I was living with my parents, I made them watch a lot of Glee with me.
Yeah, so Sam and Mercedes are dating, and that's great. And I love that because I love them both. And that just goes well. And Mercedes and Sam dating is just like really romantic and cute. And they're like become more and more the it couple of Glee, which really pisses off Rachel and Finn. This is before Kitty shows up. And so that's kind of what makes things weird, is that I'm sorry to make Mercedes' story just a story to benefit the Rachel plot.
Hey, you know, just taking after the writers.
But that's what they're going to do. It won't benefit
them. This isn't like your ideal. This is predictions.
Yeah.
You're just reading them.
So it affects the Rachel plot, and that Rachel gets like obsessive about being like, she wants to be the Quinn and Finn that Quinn and Finn were, but her and Finn. And so she becomes weird, and that starts making Finn distant from her. But she becomes that way because she was like, oh, but now we're going to be the it couple again. And they're not. It's Sam and Mercedes, because Sam and Mercedes don't try so hard, and they're just like cool, nice people. So then we get to sectionals, and this is where Rachel makes a threat that she's like, she tells everyone she got wicked. She did not get wicked.
Rachel.
But she tells everyone, I got wicked. I'm going to be Elphaba. They're begging me to come, but I told them I owe it to my group to do sectionals. And they're like, bull crap. That's not true. But she's doing it because Mercedes and Sam are the big focus now. They're getting the solos, and they're supposed to be the ones probably singing for sectionals. And so she's like trying to use it to weasel her way in. So she's like, I just have made so many sacrifices for you guys. I just wish that you would like, you know, just let me just like sing a number / all of them for sectionals. And then Will's like, Will does a good thing and gives it to Mercedes and Sam instead. And Rachel like loses it. So she, during sectionals, Mercedes and Sam go up to sing their number, and Rachel just starts singing from the back over the top of Mercedes.
Rachel.
Like with their backs turned, like how they do, where they like they act like it's choreographed, but also it's just two people singing and everybody else just stands in the background singing like they did last time, and it was weird. So she just starts singing.
Going full Becca from Pitch Perfect.
And Sam and Mercedes are like, where's that coming from? And then Rachel turns around and she like has a bedazzled Streisand mic in her hand and comes walking downstage to sing it. And she and Mercedes have a belt off on stage. And it freaking ends up being amazing. And they win. But Sam ends up completely kicked out of the number and doesn't get to be a part of any of it. And so now Mercedes is like on par with Rachel in being respected by everybody because they freaking blasted each other's faces off. But like now their relationship is on the rocks because she's loving that. But Sam's like, but I didn't even get two words out of my solo. And she's like, but Sam, I love you. And can't you support me? And he's like, I do support you. But also, can't you like see that this is just high school and I just want a chance to do something interesting in high school? And she's like, ah, and they fight and then they break up.
Oh, no.
No.
So that's you asked about Mercedes, but I gave you Sam and Rachel more. Yeah, Mercedes just becomes like that one episode in season one where she was the super cool girl in school. She like actually is that this season. Yeah. Okay. Who else? I'm going to be quick on the next ones.
Santana.
Oh,
you guys, Santana. Naya Rivera. She killed me. Landslide. I straight up wept.
Yeah.
I was like taken aback. I was like, ugly, so stupid. And then I was crying. And I watched it 5 times that day. She's so good. It's so beautiful. Yeah. And the fact that she doesn't sing lead is so honest that like she couldn't do that. Mm-hmm. She can sing the side because she can't. It was just such a good choice.
Yeah.
And the way that she like looks at Brittany, and it's so heartbreaking. The few little lines that she gets, it's like everything she can give. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So Santana. Gotta give her a good one, you guys. So Santana leaves Glee. She's not doing the Glee Club anymore because she needs to go like figure herself out. She takes off for the summer and then she comes back and she is in a band now. Mm-hmm. So she's like not in Glee Club, but she's in a band and they still like, you know, Brittany's involved with her, but it's not public. So she's like in a band because she just needs to, like do her own thing and stop being held down. And she's freaking amazing. And she's like, now the Glee Club has them as competition because like when it comes to homecoming, they want Santana's band to perform. And she like steals some of the band members that hang out in Glee because they're like, oh, you mean we get to pick what songs we do and you're going to give us harmonies? And she's like, yeah, also you get to have a name.
Jason Earls is out of there.
Yeah. So they take off and they join Santana's band. And so now the Glee Club is just like, they're actually farther down the chain now because she's more respected than them and not part of them. They got Mercedes still, but now Quinn is part of the edgy outcasts. So they're kind of like, they're losing it. They're just holding on to Mercedes and Sam. Which that breakup ruins that for them. Just, you know, heads up. Right. Yeah, so Santana forms a band. Amazing. She gets tons of musical numbers. Brittany joins in the band as well and is trying to balance the two because Brittany doesn't pick sides. So she's trying to balance the two and it becomes really difficult. And then, you know, sectionals comes and because there's got to be high stakes. Brittany is supposed to be doing a battle of the bands with Santana that night, and Santana like flips out at her for even thinking of ditching out on her and gets like super ticked. And then she sings Twinkle Twinkle Little Star again. No, I don't have a song for her. I want a song. Give me a song. What's like a big angry song that she could do?
I'm here.
I knew it.
To remind you. Yeah,
she should. But I'm pretty sure you said that happens at one point. Does it not? It should. She sings it at Brittany with her band. And Brittany, like, because Brittany doesn't, she goes sectionals instead. And she's like, but I'm going to support you. So she comes and watches the end of the Battle of the Bands after sectionals. And she just, like, sings that song in Brittany's face from the stage. Brittany breaks down in tears. And Santana throws the mic on the ground and just leaves. Doesn't even finish the number. And everyone's like, oh my gosh. Yeah. And then finally Brittany like just becomes an angry fire monster at school. Just basically Sue until finally she breaks down one day to Sue because she's like helping out Sue and they're both like destroying the world. And then things get too difficult and the only person she can connect with anymore is Sue. And she opens up to Sue and comes out to her. And Sue doesn't know how to deal with it and just is like, yeah, I don't care. And Santana doesn't know what to do. And we leave it there. because I only am going through the halfway point, through sectionals.
To sectionals, of course.
So that's where it ends with her. We're like, what's going to happen with Santana and Brittany? Okay, yeah. Will. Will dies.
Approved.
No, Will puts on a production of what's a musical that they should do. No, what's one that they absolutely shouldn't do because that's the one they will do. What is worse than Rocky Horror? There's no worse show for them to pick than Rocky Horror Picture Show. They do Best Whore House in Texas.
The Full Monty.
Oh, no, you're right. You're right. No, they do the Full Monty. And Will's like, once again, the boys are like, we talked about this last year. Like, we're not comfortable taking off our clothes on stage in front of everybody. And Will's like, oh, shoot, you're right. I forgot. I'll do it for the moms. So he does it for the moms. And the moms love it. And Emma is not into it because she finally is like, oh, wait, maybe this is inappropriate. But all the moms are into it. And so all the moms of all the kids love Will. And Emma breaks up with him. And he just like goes on like a mom dating splurge and dates every one of their moms. And it makes things really, really awkward. And there's like a whole musical number of like him jumping from mom to mom, just like in different dating scenarios. And yeah, finally the kids are like, we can't do this anymore. I don't want you as my dad. And they kick him out. And then they are like, we need to find. So they hold auditions for a new teacher. Let's see. What's a list of guest stars that I know happen? Lindsay Lohan auditions for the teacher. I don't know who owns guest stars. I know that she – I think she has like one line in one time. But she auditions. Patti LuPone auditions as not as Patti LuPone though. Just she's playing somebody.
But Patti LuPone has canonically already been in this show.
I know. John Stamos was already mentioned, and Lindsay Lohan has already been.
But we saw Patti LuPone.
I know, and Rachel's like, "Are you Patti LuPone?" And she's like, "No." And we're kind of left to wonder. And we're left to wonder. Maybe it is Patti LuPone. Plot twist, season four. Plot twist. It is Patti LuPone. She really was rooting for Rachel and Finn on that date at Sardi's, and she was like, "I'm tired. I don't want to do, I don't know, another revival of Company or something." And so,
whoa, shade to the current revival of Company.
Well, she's doing it now, but she wasn't then.
Yeah,
she's back doing it now, Ian. She did. I know. She went to Ohio. And then she was like, oh, wait, I missed Company. So she's back doing Company.
I gotta do it a third time, yeah.
Fourth time, because now she's doing it in America. Let me just say how upset I am that they gender reversed Company, and the best role in the show is the only one they didn't gender reverse. All I want is to play Joanne, but I cannot, because it's the only role they kept female.
Sorry. Anyway.
Have you played Bobby before?
I haven't played anything in that show. I would love to play Bobby, but like, would I love to play Joanne more? Yeah, absolutely. I'm into snarky side characters with a big, awesome number that they get a break in the second half.
No, that's all I want. Princess role.
So yeah, so Patti LuPone's our teacher for a minute. Sorry, that was a spoiler. She did in fact win, but also
spoilers.
Other people who try out are Rachel's dads. Which I know to be,
they're both very famous.
I know. No, that's why I'm like, come on, you got this, Alex. He was in Ragtime.
Yes, he was in Ragtime. Three names. Do you want me to just tell you? Because you clearly know who it is. Uh-huh. It's Brian Stokes Mitchell.
Brian Stokes Mitchell. And the other one is, you know, the person that I should know. The world according to Jeff Goldblum. Yeah. So they come in.
Disney Plus show.
Not Jurassic Park.
Oh, I know. I had Jurassic Park and Ragnarok and all of that. I was just like, I need a phrase that leads me into his name.
Yeah, the phrase that leads.
I'm too in Glee world. I can't remember real names. Yeah, so they audition and Brian Stokes Mitchell sings and everyone's like, oh my gosh, you're amazing. And Jeff Goldblum sings and everyone's like, why are you singing? I need one more person who auditions to be the lead. I mean, the teacher. Neil Patrick Harris comes back and he does it. He tries.
Mm-hmm. I was hoping you'd say Shirley MacLaine.
Oh, Shirley MacLaine. Yeah. She comes in. Oh, wait. Yeah, she's in this.
Yeah, you were because in her scene. Because
I was in the scene with her.
We yeah, that's right.
Sorry, I forgot. That's the one other thing that I know. I know that at one point, Blaine, I know his name is Blaine now, and Shirley MacLaine have lunch in a cafe, and there's a guy in the background in a kind of 70s brownish-bluish shirt with brown hair who looks like me. That's all I
hate to tell you, you did not make the cut.
I did not. No, I knew I didn't. I watched
that scene many times
over. I watched the camera and I was like, I'm not in this. I should just take a nap. Yeah, so Shirley MacLaine also auditions to be their teacher, and they have her and Patti LuPone do a sing off, but Patti wins by singing that part of Yeah, and so she is the teacher. Patti LuPone brings them to sectionals, and they win.
Of course.
They win, yeah. Sorry, no, I lied. They don't. She does not take them to sectionals because I already said that didn't happen because Will was there to give the songs to Mercedes and Sam.
He hasn't been mommed out yet.
Yes, he hasn't been mommed
out. Yeah, so it's after That's sectionals that it all happens.
So is it nationals they don't win or regionals?
Patti takes them to nationals. And they're like everywhere, and everyone keeps mistaking her for Patti LuPone in New York because it's in New York again. I don't know. It just is. Because why wouldn't it be? And everyone keeps mistaking her for Patti LuPone, and Rachel's like convinced. Patti,
they're remounting company again. Are you interested?
Rachel's side plot second half is she's convinced that Patti LuPone is really Patti LuPone. And so she's like digging as deep as she can to find everything Alex about her, like interrogating her, stalking her. It gets really, really sketchy, but like, you know, fun and funny. And she gets Kurt in on it with her, and they're just convinced that this is Patti LuPone. It turns out it isn't Patti LuPone, but we find out in season four that it was the whole time.
Okay.
Cause they don't pay attention to their scripts. So
a double reversal.
Yeah. Double reversal. Okay. I think that's it.
All right. Well, there we go. Season three.
That's very long.
Very focused on interpersonal relationships in the first half, and then very focused on the Patti LuPone mystery in the back half.
That's all it's about. That's it.
You got some things right in there. I'm not going to tell you what you got right.
Some things shockingly right in there.
Really?
Yeah.
And it was, no spoilers, it was the Patti LuPone stuff.
And the second half of the season, they only do Patti LuPone songs. That's all they do.
It is just Evita. It is just, what is her name in Les Mis? It is just Fontaine.
Uh-huh.
It is just Norma Desmond.
Yeah. And once they run out, they just recycle them.
Yes.
They just do like different, they do mashups of like Fontaine and Evita. They like they just do anything they can.
They're going for like the deep cuts. Mm-hmm. They have freaking someone singing like, screw the middle classes. Mm-hmm. I have never been given anything from them, and they will never deny me anything again. And
my,
it's like,
oh, that's probably what
middle class and we were left out at his funeral.
Yeah, all those like no melody nonsense. Mm-hmm.
Yes. 100%.
Yep. And once in a while, they'll do a non-Patti LuPone song, but everyone does Patti LuPone impressions. But it's just once in a while.
That's true. The last few episodes, they're like, we don't have anything left. And so they're just like doing like Britney Spears, but she's doing, they're doing Patti LuPone. Okay, here's a question. If, which version of Patti LuPone would each Glee person be?
Ooh.
There's a question for you.
Hey guys, this is Ian from the future. We get real into the nitty-gritty of this Patti LuPone stuff. So if it's not your cup of tea, just go ahead and skip to about 51 minutes.
Rachel is Evita. She is Evita.
I feel like that's fair.
Quinn Norma Desmond?
Yeah, you're right.
Quinn is Norma Desmond because she's trying to recapture her old glory. Quinn is Norma Desmond.
Oh, yeah. Yes, Quinn is Norma. You're
or
right.
Or Quinn is Fontaine.
Oh, Quinn's Fontaine.
Quinn's Fontaine.
What, because she was pregnant? Do you think
Mercedes could be Norma Desmond?
She could.
She could.
She just doesn't give her as much fun to work with, but probably.
Yeah.
Santana's Who's Joanne?
Santana.
Santana's Joanne.
That's Santana's a good one. Joanne. Who's Reno Sweeney?
Oh,
is
who's
it
Reno
Kurt?
Sweeney? Yes, yes.
Oh,
Reno
have
Sweeney
you seen,
Kurt.
Not to make this a Patti LuPone podcast, have you seen she recently posted like a TikTok or something of her reviving Reno Sweeney just like in her house? And I swear she is speaking in tongues. Like, She straight up is like, I'll drive a fast car, you're like, give it all bars, you're like, give my OS, you're like, give my limbs, you're like. And it's like, Patty, what language is this? It is Patty. So bizarre.
Okay, who is Mrs. Lovett?
Mrs. Lovett.
Because she was the revival Mrs. Lovett.
Mm-hmm. She was with Michael Server.
Somebody kind of, who can play the crazy?
In London.
Maybe Brittany?
Brittany
could be a fun Mrs. Lovett.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Could any of the boys do a Mrs. Lovett?
No.
No.
The boys on this show are meh.
The boys are generally getting pretty boring, actually.
Yes, they are.
Like, I feel like Kurt's the only boy who's still interesting.
If there's one thing Ryan Murphy can write well, it is an awful woman. Yeah. It is a very self-centered woman.
That is what
he excels at writing.
An awful woman.
Yeah, I really like, it's none like, of the boys have anything interesting happening with them.
All the boys do nothing, and then all the women who like are caring are shoved to the side.
Yes.
All right, let's see. What else we got, Patty? She was in like Robert's Bridegroom, but I don't know that show. She was Nancy and Oliver.
Was she?
I think Mercedes is a Nancy.
Yeah.
I feel like you could do a really awesome version with Mercedes doing that famous Nancy song.
As long as he needs me.
Like, it would be totally different, but thank goodness.
Or Finn is a Nancy, because Finn is like so afraid of how his life is going to end up. You know, and he is like always getting wrapped into these relationships that are toxic, but he like doesn't know how to end
them.
That's
good.
Yeah, that's true.
I like that. Finn gets it.
Finn singing It's a Fine Life about the fact that he's going to spend the rest of his life in Lima, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fine, fine life.
Great.
Should we get into our superlatives?
Yes.
I think we're doing something very productive right now.
Oh, sorry.
Who's Fosca from Passion?
No, yes,
Lena?
We should.
Ooh, Fosca is actually a great question. Me?
Wait, what?
Man, who?
Who's Fosca from Passion?
Oh, I don't have Passion at all.
Oh, you do you know the song that's like...
Loving you is not a choice. It's who I am.
No.
Loving you is not in my... control, but loving you.
Wait, who gets to play that one close. From War? Isn't it called War Paint, where they just at
War
the Tony's
Paint, where they just scream at each other?
Yeah,
that's Will and Sue.
Yeah.
Will and Sue sing War Paint.
All right, let's get into
but
our
Fosca,
superlatives.
We have to do Fosca.
It's me.
Fosca is Blaine singing
perfect,
to Kurt.
Perfect.
Done.
All right.
I hope everyone loved that.
Now we get into our senior superlatives of the Glee recap of it all. So let's start with our favorite song, and we'll go character by character, our favorite song per character.
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound good to y'all?
Heck yeah.
So let's start with our girl, we know her, we love her, we hate her, Rachel Ann Barry.
Rachel Barbara Barry.
Let's make the order Ian, Alex, and then me.
Okay.
Cool? Ian, cool. Tell me.
Hard pick. I have two written down, but I'm going to go with my gut, and my gut says, Don't You Want Me, Baby.
Mm. Oh, so good.
Wait, I thought it was a number. Solo. That's a duet.
Oh, I did write best solo in the list I sent to Alex, but I meant just best song that the character is featured
okay.
in.
Okay, well, mine is very specific to the restrictions I was given.
I'm sorry.
What was yours, Alex?
My Man.
Alex, you and me are in the same boat once again. My Man.
It's so good.
The same person.
Kurt Sadie's, come on.
Did she steal it straight from Barbara, her style and everything? Yeah, but did she pull
Absolutely.
It off? Yes.
But you know what? There is some, you know, good stuff to be learned from copying somebody, you know? Hell, how about Finn? Ian, what is your favorite Finn number from season two?
The next to normal classic, She's Not There! What it actually is She's Not There by the Zombies, which is the, well, no one told me about her. That's mine.
Alex. Mine is also that one, because it was very fun.
Oh.
Also,
next to normal.
He doesn't have a lot of interesting solos. So
He doesn't. I was surprised.
I know.
No.
Honestly, I mean, he still is getting a lot more focus than many other characters like Mercedes and Tina. Mm-hmm. But Finn truly has been pushed to the side in this mm-hmm. season compared to the focus on him in season one.
Yeah.
Well, he gets a lot of solos, but they're all not on great numbers. They're all just like, I don't know, mm-hmm. some song of sectionals.
Yeah. Yeah. Or it's like a Finchel thing and it's like, meh. Boring. I put Losing My Religion.
Oh, that is a good one. That's a good one.
I liked that one a lot. How about Kurt? Ian?
I Want to Hold Your Hand is so good.
Yep. Alex?
Agreed.
I agree as well. I Want to Hold Your Hand is one of my favorite numbers probably from the season.
I consider the jazz hot.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
But my issue with that one was I wish there was just, it wasn't, I really, really liked it, but I don't know. He had that like dual outfit, but he didn't play with two personalities in the performance. So I was like, that's such a missed opportunity, especially because he does have two distinct tones to his voice, as proven by the Madonna number he did. And I was excited for that, and he didn't do that, but he still did a great job. That's why I picked I Want to Hold Your Hand instead.
How about Will?
Oh, I never picked one.
No?
Okay, I think my Will one is, I think Singing in the Rain / Umbrella. I have a fun time with that number.
Alex, what about you?
He had so little, thank goodness. It's definitely not that garbage song that he sang in the finale.
That was truly, that was them stealing your Rachel idea, where Will goes to a city and then someone's like, hey kid, you got it.
Yeah. But it's like a security guard. Yeah.
But he's been a security guard for Broadway for 25 years.
Mm-hmm. I have no patience with that plot line, and especially ending it that way. It actually was interesting drama, but what?
Do you know that that song is Matthew Morrison's song?
Ian told me.
Good.
Yeah. And I looked it up and listened to it again, and I was like, I equally don't care about the song as I did before, and I don't even know what the tune is.
I hear
something
you.
About question marks above our heads. That's all I remember.
Ugh. Real Sim vibes.
What was your favorite Will song, though?
I just said Sway, because I got to hear him and he sounded great, but I didn't have to look at him a lot.
Yeah. I hear that. I said Singing in the Rain / Umbrella. All right, Santana. Ian?
This might be a controversial pick, because she's got some incredible numbers, but I cannot deny it is maybe my most listened to Glee cover of all time, Valerie. I love her cover of Valerie.
Yeah, I mean, I would almost say Landslide, but it like wasn't really a solo. She was so good in that number, but mine is Valerie or Back to Black. I struggled. I think maybe I'll say Back to Black just because I know how difficult it is to own it when you're just standing there alone. Yeah. Like, that's so hard. And she's so good. And she has no one to work with. And she just uses the band. And she's just fantastic.
Yeah. I said Valerie as well. How about Quinn? Quinn doesn't have a lot this season.
Okay.
Like, Quinn does truly has like... No.
She doesn't have a solo, period. Yeah. But she has like songs that she's featured in. So I think the best Quinn feature in this whole season is her as Magenta.
Oh.
But she isn't in that number for very long. So I do think Magenta is her best one. But if we're going for like a proper Quinn feature where she is given the spotlight, I said, I Don't Want to Know from Rumors.
Oh, good. Yeah. Alex?
See, I was trying to stay strict to the rules. So I didn't find anything. Because I lied to you. And then I finally was like, screw the rules. And I put Pretty Unpretty.
I put Pretty Unpretty as well.
Yeah.
I would say that's her most solo that we... Even though it's not a solo. All right. How about Puck, Ian?
Puck, it was the number that made me realize I maybe like Puckleberry, Need You Now from Sue Sylvester Shuffle.
Dun, 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 dun,
I don't know. They got good chemistry in that song.
That's
I don't know what to tell you.
That's true. Alex, how about you?
No, you're right. Like, they do it. I just don't like the song. I think I just got exhausted by the song. So I hear it. I'm like, shut up.
I know. I feel the same.
You know, the plot point and the issues and whatever, but he does a good job with Fat Bottom Girl. I think he sounds great.
I agree with you, Alex. Literally, I was like, I don't like that it was done, but it's pretty good. And I love that song. Yeah. Okay, how about Blaine Warbler?
Wait, did we skip Britney?
Oh, I totally skipped Britney. Thank you, Alex. How about Britney?
I put I'm a Slave for You.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Agreed. Yep.
Across the board. Yeah, it's very so good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Okay, back to Blaine Warbler.
Okay, as someone who has been pretty vocal about how I think Blaine is like the most vanilla, boring character on this show, I cannot deny he has incredible songs. This was the hardest one for me to pick.
I agree.
Oh, gall.
He has,
I have
like, the best
three
songs of the season. You do?
Okay, one of them I already awarded to Rachel, so I won't say that one. So I'm just going to say these two.
It's also hard because Blaine encapsulates all of the warblers.
All of the warblers, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Lena's going to say this one too. Not going to teach your boyfriend how to dance with you. Also, Summer Only We Know is such a good cover of that song.
Yeah.
But it was very hard to narrow it down to even two.
Alex, how about you?
Candles.
Shut up.
You're not invited back for next season.
No, mine is not going to teach a boyfriend how to dance with you. It's so fun.
Yeah.
It's so fun. I listened to it like 100 times.
And the fight breaking out under it. And then like Becky coming to Sue's office and being like, Coach, we have a code red. It's so intense.
It's everything. I didn't put Not Gonna Teach Your Boyfriend to Dance With You because I put it somewhere else.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I put When I Get You Alone.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
The one in the gap.
Mm-hmm.
It's also very fun. Yeah, he does. His numbers don't make any sense in the plot usually, but they're good numbers.
They're always so good.
Very good.
Yeah. How about Mercedes?
River Deep, Mountain High.
Very good.
That would be my choice, but I put that somewhere else. Ain't No Way.
I put Try a Little Tenderness.
That's so good, too. She's so good.
I know. She deserves more.
Give her more things to do.
I know. Even you, Alex, in your predictions. Give her more things
to do. Yeah, stop having her feed the Rachel plot, Alex.
Yeah,
that's the problem, is like Ryan Murphy teaches me how to view his characters. I'm just a product of his writing.
You're just a consumer. You're just a consumer.
Yeah.
All right. How about Artie?
Ooh, no, wait. Sorry. What? Real quick.
Yes.
Mercedes secretly also did the open call audition and actually did get Elphaba.
Whoa.
Oh, heck yeah.
And so she knows Rachel Berry's lying, but she's not going to say anything.
And also on the first day, they get their new coach, and the coach is like, hi, I'm Miss Enopal. And then she goes to Mercedes and she's like, don't tell anyone this, but I'm Patti LuPone. And she confides
Mercedes knows that too.
Yeah.
She's this the keeper of the secrets. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because Mercedes couldn't do it because her mom wouldn't let her do it. And she was brokenhearted. So she still does sectionals, but she never told anybody that it ever happened. But she knows. And it is Patti LuPone undercover because Patti LuPone watched her audition and was like, this girl's amazing. I have to go cultivate this and get her to Broadway at all costs. So she like infiltrates the school in order to get Mercedes there. But Rachel is the one thinking it's all about her, but it's all about Mercedes.
I love it.
Miss Enopal.
There we go.
I love it.
Why are you saying that?
Because it's LuPone backwards.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Her first name is E-Tap.
E-Tap Enopal. Oh,
okay, God, sorry, we're back. Artie.
We're back. Artie. Ian?
I said Stronger from the Britney episode.
Mm-hmm.
I really didn't have a strong one, but I picked Stronger also.
I also picked Stronger.
Oh, heck yeah.
So good. I love that number. All right. Tina Cohen-Chang.
She doesn't have a lot, but this is, in my opinion, her best number in the entire show. I Follow Rivers is so good. Mm-hmm. Everyone listen to the full cover.
I just like really enjoyed Dog Days. I just think it's a really fun number.
Yeah.
So I picked it.
Totally. I put I Follow Rivers. And how about Sam?
Okay. So I really wanted to put Marry You somewhere on this list just because I love it so much. So I put Marry You, but then I'm like, he's barely in that song.
Yeah.
So more realistically, Somebody to Love.
Yeah, I didn't have one on Sam. Ian did not give me that name, or I didn't read it.
Did I? I think I texted it to you.
Probably
it wasn't
did.
On the original list.
Oh.
And then, I have the receipts right here.
I'm looking at
Add
it here
Sam
now.
To the solos list.
Okay, well, whatever. He only had like four. I would
Quinn
say
zero.
Honestly, Somebody to Love also, like the Bieber number.
I, Yeah, the Beamer number is everything. I agree. I'd put somebody to love as well. All right. Now we're into our overall categories.
Wait, are we doing best guest solo?
Oh,
guest
sure, artist? Sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Do you have a... let me think.
The funny thing about that is I told you to add that and I don't have one.
Do you not have one either?
It was too overwhelming.
I'll pick one here and now.
Okay. Yours. Literally, Alex is the one who came up with this idea. And then I presented it to Lena, and Lena was the one who was like, yes, we should for sure do that. And yet I'm the only one who has a response.
Because Lena and I are the same person.
We're lumping all of the guest stars into one. So like Gwyneth Paltrow, yeah. John Stamos, Kristen Chenoweth, et cetera, et cetera.
Sunshine Corazon, too.
ETAP, Napoli, what did I say? Enopal. Yes, yeah, Sunshine Corazon as well. I said that my best one was either Landslide with Holly Holiday or Dreams with April Rhodes.
Very good, very good.
I would say, I actually think John Stamos does a really great job in the Rocky Horror one. So I was, when I first told you, it was after I'd listened to that number. And I was like, oh, that should get something. But then I was like, how do I compare him with the Sunshine Corazon ones? And then I really enjoy Forget You. I do. But I think I'm going to give it to John Stamos.
Yeah. I am too. The Hot Patootie Bless My Soul is too fun. Much too fun.
I just love him too.
He's super awesome. All right. Now let's get into the overall stuff. We have like best solo overall, all that kind of stuff. Okay. Let's start with best solo overall. What is your favorite solo from season two, Ian?
Okay. I didn't know that we were like not putting things twice. So I put Valerie.
Oh, well, I mean, that's fine.
That's the one that I realized looking at my paper, I didn't do it. Like, it was a very hard thing to pick. You know what? I gave Back to Black to Santana. I'm going to give Valerie for this one.
Great.
Yeah, I love that. Great. I put Not Going to Teach Your Boyfriend How to Dance with You.
Of course
you did.
I can only be myself.
I'm with you, Lena. That song freaking rocks.
It is incredible. It has no business being on this show.
No. Okay. I will say, last time I mentioned that there are certain songs that make it onto my personal playlist or my gym playlist. That's the only one from this season that did. It was the only one that, because it's not like I am picky. It's just one that I'm like, ooh, that's fun. I should put on my playlist. I just absentmindedly do it. I looked over my playlist. It's the only one that I did it with the whole time. So it should win best solo, I guess. I guess I retract Valerie and give it that.
I love it.
Perfect. Valerie, I'm so sorry.
Sorry, Valerie. Sorry, Valerie. Why don't you come on over? But also, Valerie, do not come over.
But also, don't.
Don't come over,
I'm not
going to
teach
you
how to dance.
Because I'm not going to teach your boyfriend how to dance with you. Valerie, God. All right, how about best duet overall?
Okay, once again, double dipping. River Deep, Mountain High.
Yeah, agreed. Alex? Agreed.
I put Pretty on Pretty.
Yeah.
That was my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How about best group number? I have two.
For me, this episode, I got a lot of problems with it. But dang, Time Warp makes me feel alive. I love their performance of Time Warp.
I probably would feel the same way. I literally was on fire by the time that number came on. I was like, I think I watched that episode with my friend Ambry. I think she was here. Yeah. I was like, I had to pause the TV and like cool down. I was so angry. Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe it was good, but I think I blacked out. Mm-hmm. I put Blame It on the Alcohol. They all commit so much to the vibe of that song.
So
it's so fun. I just like any of the ones that involve dancing, like really dancing, because they're fun to watch, especially Brittany, because man, Heather Morris is good. She just can make the dumbest dance moves look so good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm going to say Blame It on the Alcohol.
I love that. I put Bills, Bills, Bills / Landslide. And I know that Landslide isn't like a group number, but it was like not a duet.
Yeah.
And I didn't, and I couldn't, and I didn't want to put it like somewhere else. So I put Landslide.
Yeah. Landslide deserves its own category.
Yeah. Landslide is its own thing. Its best landslide is Landslide.
It was, oh my God.
Best time that Stevie Nicks visited set.
Yeah.
Landslide.
I need to go watch that number again.
How about best mashup?
Gosh, Ian, pick one. They're all two. Singing in the Rain / Umbrella or Pretty Unpretty. One of the two.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm going to say, for me personally, probably Singing in the Rain / Umbrella is the winner.
Okay. Mine, I think, is off with your head, off with their heads. I can't remember. / Thriller. Mm-hmm.
Thriller.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Thriller just, heads were roll. That was nice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just Thriller with some other stuff thrown in, but it's so fun.
Yes. Yes.
I agree. I picked the same one. That one is so, it is like the production value is so incredible. Mm-hmm. I love it so much. How about worst mashup?
Okay, this one was really hard for me. I feel like in season one, there was a very clear answer. Mm-hmm. Hair / Crazy in Love is so abysmal.
It's an abomination. It's an abomination.
The show jokes about it this season. I think all the mashups this season were pretty good.
Yeah.
So that's just my way of apologizing for what I'm about to say, because it's going to be a hot take. Start Me Up / Living on a Prayer.
Yeah. It's like, who cares about it? It's not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I put Stop in the Name of Love / Free Your Mind because you and I had a disagreement about it on the show, and I knew you would pick the girls, so I'm picking the boys as the worst.
mine, hear me out, as you guys always say.
Hear me out. I'm hearing you.
I have two. The first one I picked because although it was moderately fun to watch, I listened to it and I was like, I hate listening to this. And that is Singing in the Rain / Umbrella.
Okay.
I just listened to it and I was like, I don't enjoy the sound of this at all. Brother. Get this off. Turn it off. But like, the idea is fun and I enjoy watching them do that. So like, I don't know. My second one is the New York one. I just, you know, I hate it.
Yeah.
I hate it so much.
We disagree.
Ian said you guys mentioned this. I don't know what it is. Actually, I do. It's the line where they rhyme New York with dork. And I was just like, who wrote this?
Madonna.
Yeah, it turns out it was Madonna. I thought it was an original song. And I was like, this sucks.
No.
I hate this.
It's Madonna.
Queen of pop.
Doesn't mean it's good just because it's Madonna. She can have some stinkers. Yeah, I don't know.
You're
I just hate it. But like, they work so well together that it does sound like it's one song to me. So like, clearly it wasn't like Hair and Crazy in Love where they just clash. They don't clash, surprisingly, because it's a Madonna and a Broadway number, but they actually work together very well. I just hated it. I hated it so much, you guys. And I don't quite understand what it was. I just hated that number. That's all. But yeah. I'm just trying to clarify. I don't have good reasons, so I know that people like it, so that's fine, because I don't have valid reasons. Just something in me hates it.
Sure.
Should talk to my therapist about it. I don't know.
Okay. How about worst group number?
Well, I got a long list on here. Probably out of these like 10 songs I listed, probably Bella Notte.
You hated Bella Notte.
It just the poppiest vocals for that song. It was horrendous.
I wasn't even paying attention to that in that scene. Oh, I was watching Rachel and Finn.
No, when he comes in with his pop vowels singing an old jazz song, I hate it.
Yeah,
that isn't my pick because I was thinking like big group numbers. Mm-hmm. So I was trying to pick of like the big everybody New Directions numbers.
Yes.
And that was harder because I had a lot that were like mediocre, but I was trying to find one that I just really didn't like. I really don't like One of Us. It just was dumb.
That was
why
on my
list.
Why did
they wear those costumes? The way they stood.
Yeah, everyone's like doing a Hillary Duff impression.
Yeah, with like their like with fingers their, like, in their pants. Yeah.
And I just think the song, I don't like the song. Like what it's about is nice, but the lyrics are just, yeah, yeah, God is good, yeah, yeah. Like, that's not a lyric.
Like that song?
I don't like the song. It's fine when it's about, and it's not my style of music. I just never really liked the song. Good. And then they do it, and they make it even more barfy. Like, I just say I don't like that number.
Sure. I hear that.
No,
I hear that.
It's bad.
Yeah.
I put Candles.
Okay.
Or Hazel's sister.
See, I would maybe, I maybe would have put candles if I thought of that as a worse. Oh, wait, never mind. I got candles down here.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, to the big whammies. What is your favorite?
Wait, worst what? Duet.
Worst duet? I don't have that in here.
We well, do. Alex is about to say candles.
Yeah.
Oh, candles. I see. I see. Okay. I don't have a worst duet. Let me do some Googling.
Okay. Well, my worst duet, I have candles on the list, but since you claimed it, I will say Ohio. I love Carol Burnett. That song is not good.
I thought about it, but I can't do it to Carol Burnett. I love her too much.
Yeah.
The thing is, I don't care how bad the song is. When you get her trumpet of a voice singing it, I don't care. Like, her voice is so odd and beautiful, and I just love it. It's just so like, ah, I love her. So I couldn't.
I could, and I did.
I put candles, but I did also, it's not really a duet, but then it is a duet. Hot take, again, as you guys say, as the kids say, hot take. I really didn't like Make Him Laugh.
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't either.
It offended me because Mike is very talented.
Yeah.
What he's doing is great. Also, Will can sing, but neither of them are being funny. That's literally the point of the song. It's not about can you do tricks and can you sing well. It's about can you be funny. And sorry, Matthew Morrison. No, you can't. Mike probably could, but like he was focused on flips and stuff. It was very upsetting. I didn't like it. So that was my other one.
Yeah.
Oof, I didn't mention Rolling in the Deep. I love that song. I didn't mention Me Against the Music, one of my favorite duets. Okay, I just had to say that. I guess...
I mean, you can say candles. You said worst
group number. Candles.
Yeah.
Candles
is not good.
Yeah.
It's not good.
That is the right answer.
I feel so bad.
And it's like this triumphant moment where like Kurt finally gets recognized and he also finally gets with Blaine and they're like, and now a terrible cover of a song that doesn't make sense in this context.
That's so bad.
All right. Now, finally, time for the big whammies. I haven't skipped anything, right?
No.
Okay. Big whammies. Should we start with worst episode or should we start with best episode? Should we end on a high note
and
on a low note?
Let's end on a high note. Let's do worst first.
Okay. Ian, what was your worst episode?
Just, I don't know. There were a lot of episodes in the season that like really offended me and made me angry. But this episode, those episodes also gave me some like really great moments that I loved. This episode was like almost all misses and also had so much potential to be something great and it was all ignored. It is Night of Neglect. It is boring. Mm. It brings back Terry and Dustin and Sandy and does nothing with them. And it does have, like, I Follow Rivers, but only for 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And it does have Mercedes' big song, but overall,
Yeah.
What about you?
Okay. Well, there are two episodes that I had very intense reactions to and dislikes, so it's between them. Number one, I already said Rocky Horror Picture Show was an abomination.
Yeah.
I can't believe that it happened on television. I can't believe that was permitted to be on television and the show continued after that. I hated it. It did make me want to watch Rocky Horror Picture Show, though, because like the songs are great and the music in Rocky Horror is great. And they do a great job with the songs, so they just shouldn't have done it. Now, because of that, because the songs were at least good and well done, here we go. Hear me out. I really hated the finale. Oh, I hated it so much.
Yeah, I hear you.
I hated it. And there were aspects that I liked. Like, I actually really liked the Rachel story. I thought it was very honest and true to who she is and what a lot of people go through. And, like, especially for, like, her age to be like, and I'm going to be on Broadway and that's all I can focus on. It's, like, so real for how that type of person would be. So I liked – there were plot points in it that I liked. But I was infuriated by the fact that, like, they didn't – they didn't write anything, and their songs that they wrote, I don't even remember what they were. And like I said, I didn't like the New York number. And I think it's like what Ian said. I had my hopes very high for that one. There's just so much potential. And that was also, I think, why I didn't like this New York song, because there's so many good New York songs. And I was like, this, what is this? Like, why aren't we doing the one from Annie or something? Like, that one's got such a fun energy to it. And it just felt weird. Yeah. But I think I'm going to give it to Rocky Horror because I've never been so angry at a television in my life.
I hear you. I put Night of Neglect. Honestly, yeah. I like this season a lot. And I would say even the episodes that are like duds to me are like kind of middle of the road. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But so I feel the same about a lot of Rocky Horror. Like a lot of it really made me like just viscerally angry. But I would say Night of Neglect is like probably like the biggest miss, I would say, of the season to me.
I think you guys are right, though. Like when I think about that one, it didn't make me angry, but it was just like there's so much potential.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And it's just like a forgettable throwaway episode.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like, and we talked about this in season one, there are episodes that are like, gosh, Acapellas is so fun to hate, you know? And we mm-hmm. talked about that a lot, how like fun it was. And like, at least they were like making choices. But then the episode that we ended up picking as our least favorite episode was like Mashup. Yeah. And it's like, what happened in Mashup? I don't even remember. And yeah. I feel similarly about Night of Neglect. Mm-hmm. It's just like, what happened there?
Yeah.
Yeah. How about our favorite episode of our best episode of the season? Ian, tell me yours.
Okay. I'm stuck between two. My two are Duets, which is Ian Brennan. And Silly Love Songs, which is Ryan Murphy. I loved both those episodes so much.
Mm-hmm.
But if I had to pick one, I would probably say Duets, just because I watched the show for the Glee Club, as in like as a whole. And that episode, I think of any episode in this whole season, does the best job of giving every single member of the club something interesting to do. Mm-hmm. Like no character doesn't get a fun moment in that episode.
Yeah. I like those two a lot.
Okay, I had three that I wrote down for different reasons. So I have problems with Furt, but overall, as like a sweetness episode, mm-hmm. it had some beautiful moments.
Yes.
I put Prom Queen for the drama being fun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then I put Rumors because what a great finally use of a jukebox episode where they actually mm-hmm. had like plot and used the song so well. And the theme, the like idea of the album and everything, but also incorporated into the plot. I thought it was just well done.
Yeah. I am stuck between two. I said either Furt or Blame It on the Alcohol, which was like definitely a sleeper one for me. I don't think when I think of, you know, season two and my favorite episodes, I think of Blame It on the Alcohol. I definitely think more Furt, but Blame It on the Alcohol is mm-hmm. so fun.
It is like very fun.
That party scene with them mm-hmm. just like sitting on the floor and like being just weird teenagers. I love that episode. If I had to pick, I think I'd probably pick Furt though. I think for the same reason that you said, Alex, it's just like so sweet. Mm-hmm. Like I think giving like Kurt and Finn have been through so much together and giving them like that kind of like coming together moment, I thought was really satisfying. So I love that episode.
Yep.
Yep.
Well, bam, 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 bam. I guess Furt is the winner because I got two votes. So congratulations, Furt, on being the best episode. Congratulations, Night of Neglect, on being the worst episode.
Congratulations to Alex and I for being the same person.
Yeah.
Congratulations to Kurt Sadies for coming to host a podcast. Alex, what are your parting thoughts on season two? If you were to encapsulate how you felt about this season of television, what would you say?
You know, I don't know. Nyla Rivera is a treasure.
She is.
Yeah, I liked this season. I liked it. I really did. but there are a million issues, and it makes me sad when I think about what it isn't anymore. Because a lot of the stuff, even when I went and rewatched the first episode of the season, and I was surprised how different it is even from that episode.
Yeah, totally.
So that makes me sad because I love that heightened, ridiculous comedy is so fun. Yeah. And
the
Jesselyn Gilsig, that whole kind of world and vibe and tone.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is sad to have gone. And it is officially goodbye to that, besides Sue Sylvester still being ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lena, what are your parting thoughts of season two?
I love this season. I just think it's very, it's definitely not season one at all. Especially in the sense of like Jesselyn Gilsig is not even a part of the show anymore. And like her brand of like the show and the comedy isn't there. But it definitely, I think, has a lot of heart to it, which is like, it like takes me back to being 14, which I think is, something I love about the show. And it's very special to me, especially for that. Mm-hmm, yeah. Is this season more than any season of television of all time is like, you know, encapsulates what it was like to be Lena going through puberty. So holler. Ian, how about you?
I think this season has the best and some of the only examples of Glee handling sensitive topics well. Mm-hmm. I think that the Santana and Kurt plot lines are handled very well and are very powerful and just like pretty good television.
Yeah.
I think we get a lot of good stuff coming out of this season. We get a lot of tertiary characters becoming a lot more interesting and fleshed out.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of very fun musical numbers that are like very impressive and awesome. My one letdown, like we've said, it's a different show than season one. It's not a show about underdogs anymore. Mm-hmm. Like,
but they said it was like 100 times.
Yeah, the show.
And that's the thing is they keep lying to us,
exactly.
Telling us that it is.
And like, it would be more acceptable if they just accepted the fact that it's not a show about underdogs anymore, but they want to have their cake and eat it too. But like Glee season one, especially the beginning of the show, was A, about underdogs, and B, was an underdog show in the sense that it was like a big risk. And they did not know if they were going to get picked up, and they only had 13 episodes. And it has such a vibe of just like people doing what they're passionate about and hoping it works out. And then at this point, when, you know, they rule the entire planet, it feels a lot more monetized and a lot more created by a machine. And it doesn't feel like this cute little underdog show anymore, which is sad. But we also do get a lot of good stuff out of the machine. So
truth. I mean, I'm not going to teach your boyfriend how to dance with you.
Mm-hmm.
That's worth all of it.
All right.
Heck.
Well, that's season two.
Wow. Are you so excited for season three, Alex?
I am. I'm excited for it to start taking a big turn.
Mm-hmm. The wildest thing.
Wildest
looking forward.
Things. Ian can play that on the guitar.
I did. I learned how to play that song on the guitar. Good for me.
Wow.
is that the end of season two, the episodes started getting a little wobbly to the point that like they were getting bad reviews, like Night of Neglect specifically. And so Ryan Murphy was starting to develop other projects. And so he was like, great, let's hire a bunch of more writers to help stabilize the show. And all it does is make all those problems worse because the show gets so much more wobbly from this point.
Well, probably because they don't keep a show Bible and they don't have group meetings to discuss in depth the plot and hear different points of view. They just assign out crap.
Yeah, they're like, let's just do that.
Well,
yeah.
Buckle up, everyone. Stay tuned for season three for Purple Piano Project coming out next week. What a title.
The
Purple
what?
Piano Project
Purple
is
Piano
the name
Project.
Of the premiere of season three.
Okay.
Okay.
Alex, thank you for being here. Do
I
you
love
have,
it when you're here, Alex.
It's fun.
Do you have anything to plug?
Just my art Instagram as usual. Okay, I'll do this. So I have my art Instagram. It's called A Bowden Art. I also, if you look me up on Etsy, but you have to capitalize A, then capital B, O, W, D, and capital A, R, T. I don't know why Etsy does that, but you have to type it that way to find it. There's some stuff on there if you like Shakespeare. If you're not into Shakespeare, don't worry about it. But on my art Instagram, I do commissions, and I did a sale this last week that the first 10 people to comment, whatever, got the deal. But I'll give the deal to anybody. Let's see, what's a good phrase that you have to tell me from season 2?
I love you, Mike Chang.
Okay, you have to say, I love you, Mike Chang. In all caps.
Perfect.
So if you send me I love you, Mike Chang, on my art Instagram, abowdenart, A-B-O-W-D-E-N-A-R-T, then I will give you 50% off of my current commission thing. So you can go on there and see what that is. I don't want to explain my art style to you right now because I don't feel like it. So.
Hooray!
Well, thank you so much for being here. Thank you all for listening, sticking with us through season 2. Can't wait to talk about season 3. If you have thoughts on season 2 as a whole that you want to share with us, you can send them to recoveringgleek.fm. What? Anchor.fm/recoveringgleek. Or you can email them to us at recoveringgleek@gmail.com.
If you want to follow us on social media, my brain also shut off. You can follow our TikTok and Instagram at recoveringgleek_podcast, our Twitter at recoveringgleek. If you want to support our podcast, you can do so financially on anchor.fm/recoveringgleek. Click the support button, or you can leave us a review and rate us on Apple Podcasts or iTunes. Mm-hmm. Thank you all for listening.
Okay.
See you in season 3.
Here is a season 2 wrap-up kiss on your season 2 wrap-up forehead.
Bye.
See you later.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review. And tell your friends, please.
I'll have a kiss.
You don't have
How
to.
Dare you?
I don't have to do kisses. I'm not a Gleek.
Well, yeah, they're only for Gleeks. If
you
were a
you're
Gleek,
honestly
baby,
banned. If you had tried,
yeah, I would have been. I would have kicked you off this Zoom call.
Furious.